Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. We welcome you to Barbecue Grove this morning. And if you're with us, if you're visitors today, we welcome you as our special guest. As we do at the first of each and every month, we recognize our birthdays and also our anniversaries. And so I'm going to do that for you now. And our birthdays are as follows.
Okay, our birthdays are as follows. We got Hannah Triplett on from May the 27th because we did not know at the time. We did not add it on. So we'll do a little belated birthday for Hannah Triplett, May the 27th. Charlie Stroop, June the 4th. Adeline Hartzell, June the 6th. Zach Snyder, June the 6th. Pat Burgess, June the 7th. Avery Hartzell, June the 14th. Gary Hamilton, June the 15th. Kathy High, June the 16th. Kathy, yay. Jeanette Barbie, June the 22nd. Have I omitted anyone? Have I forgotten anyone? All right, then Brenda, if you'll catch one, give me a key, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
Anniversaries for June: Ted and Bonnie Barbary, June the 1st. Jeff and Lori Kepler. I'll get it out in a minute, son. I'm sorry. June the 9th. How many years, Jeff?
44.
44 years. Way, I'll tell you. God bless Lori. Kenny and Rita Linker, June the 19th. They must be away today. Grant and Aaron Hartzell, June the 23rd. How many years we got here, Mr. Green?
17.
That's still great. There's a lot of room to grow there, you see. I meant that figuratively. I did not mean I just want you to go like this. Yeah, it's true. David and Stacy Talley, June the 25th. Have I missed anyone? Then let's give them a hand. All right, okay. Let's all stand and do the doxology this morning, please. If you would, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
It's good to see each of you out today. We're so thankful that you took the time out of your busy schedules to come to worship with us the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so pleased to see each of you here today. We want to remember our pastor today in prayer as he is gone. He's preaching a revival, a funeral in Siler City. I guess that is a revival, isn't it?
No, there's a homecoming.
And there's also a homecoming, too. But that is a revival, isn't it? The funeral, they knew Christ. They're revived with Jesus right now. So we can praise the Lord for that. But do pray for our pastor as he is away. Okay? So let us open with a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you have brought us together today. We pray, Father, that you will lead us and guide us and direct us in this service. That, Lord, you will bind Satan from this service. Father, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth together. We ask you, O God, to bless the song service and to bless the preaching service. And we ask, Father, that your will be done within these services. We thank you for those that play the instruments. For, Father, the music just sounds so wonderful. And, Lord, it just helps us to get in that spirit of worship. We pray, Father, that you will just continue to guide us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you, Brother Jim. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time. And first, as Brother Jim has already alluded to, our pastor is away in Siler City today, and he will be doing a funeral and also a time for right after they have time at the church. They're going to go to that funeral, will be right in the same church where the homecoming is going to be. So it's going to be kind of a rough afternoon for him. So keep him in your prayers, if you would, please. Okay. All right. Now today, right after service today at 11, we'll have a council meeting, church council meeting. Well, I promise I'll keep it brief. I won't keep you too late. I promise
that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. This afternoon from 5 to 7, our youth meeting with supper will be scheduled. And then at 5:30 to 6:30, adult discipleship training will be also. Wednesday, come and be with us on Wednesday. I think the pastor has started a new study on Esther, or I believe he did. I believe that's where that's going to be. But anyway, he was in Esther last week. So you come and be with us on Wednesday night for the Bible study. Down further on your announcements, you'll see adult choir practice will be every second and fourth Sunday. I encourage you, if you want a choir, come and be a part of it. If you want a choir, we can get up here, and our praise team does a wonderful job, don't get me wrong. And we do music with your congregation. But if you want a choir, the only way we can have a choir is to have the people in the choir. So if you want one, come and be with us on every second and fourth Sunday night. Graduation Sunday will be June the 9th. Let's be here to honor our graduates, June the 9th. And then baby dedication service will be June the 9th as well, and that will be for a little Whitley triplet, okay? So be here June the 9th for that. The Singing Towers will be here on June the 30th, or the Towers Quartet. I can't even get it right anymore. The Towers Quartet will be here on June the 30th. That will be to celebrate our country and also to celebrate God in Christ. So be here for the June. That'll be a special July the 4th service here on June the 30th. Vacation Bible School. And I am so glad to tell you that Tonda and Gary are going to be our directors of Vacation Bible School this year. Tonda, do you have anything you want to add to this? We're just... Okay.
Thank you so much. It's going to take all of us. You know, Gary and I are just the vessels that are going to have our little tour and putting it all together. But please give this lots of prayer and thought, because we want a great school weekend for our children, all of our children here, as well as any of their little friends they can invite and bring with them. It's going to take us all doing it together.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Tonda. Thank you. Also, remember our birthdays and anniversaries. If you got to verify your, you need to verify your birthdays and anniversary with Brenda Burris, okay? And I believe that's all the announcements I have. Now, before we go to prayer time, I'm going to back up a little bit now and pick up our hymn sing, okay? And we have hymn, page 52, and... you know how it goes sometimes. You just get out of sync just a little bit. But that's all right. If I did everything the same way, it'd be boring. So I won't do that. So now, page 52, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, all four verses, as we stand together and sing.
He leadeth me, all blessed thought.
one said, amen. Welcome somebody this morning. I want us now to go to our prayer time, prayer request. I have a couple. Pastor Jim has asked us if we would remember him this morning as he comes and as he presents the message today. Let's remember our Pastor Ed as he's away traveling today and the funeral that he will be conducting this afternoon. Anyone else this morning that we need to lift up? Yes, Kathy. Okay, you're going to take Robert with you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, well, we will pray. Yes, we will. You. Okay, Robert, I'm kidding. Now you keep smiling.
How blessed they are, Robert. How blessed they are.
I got something after we pray today that I want to share with the church. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to wait after prayer time. And I think it'd be more appropriate then, but don't let me forget it, Jeff. Okay. But anyway, as we continue on our prayer time, I want to be very serious about God's prayers. And so we've got Kathy and Robert traveling. Anyone else this morning?
Y'all remember Lori? She becomes
home. Lori traveling. It's here. Okay. Who? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. Absolutely. Yes. Anyone else? Tony and Ruth, it is so good to see you both back. And looks like, Ruth, you're getting back to normal. And yes, you are. You certainly are. We praise God for your success and the blessings he's given you both to be part of us again, be here. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Any others? Then let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, Lord, and we, again, before I ask you, Lord, for anything, we just want to give you great praise for who you are. Oh, what an awesome God you truly, truly are. And we honor you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for those, as I look out among the congregation that are here today and, Lord, have got up this morning and prioritized their time to be here and to worship your name. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the health that they have to be here. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we would ask your special blessing upon Brother Jim as he comes and as he ministers to us today with the sermon for the day. We pray for him. And Lord, we don't want to forget those who have asked for special prayers this morning. We lift up Pastor Ed as he is traveling. Lord, we ask you to be with him. And then, Lord, as he conducts the funeral this afternoon, we would ask you to be with him. We pray for Robert and Kathy as they will be traveling. We pray for traveling mercies for them, as well as Lori as she's returning. We pray for her as well. We pray, Lord, for Hannah Rushy. Lord, we know that a surgery is coming for her, and we ask, Lord, that if it be your precious will, Lord, that you would give her healing for her body and restore her, Lord, to a normal degree of health. We continue to pray for Betsy Gibson, Lord. We pray for her. And we ask, Lord, that again, if it be your precious will, for healing for her body. Now, Lord, as we go further in the service today, Lord, we want to always be mindful, Lord, that everything that happens today, we give him all the glory and all the honor. And we pray for our praise team will be coming next, Lord, to pray, to sing. We ask blessings upon them. Now go forward with us, we pray, Lord, and help us tonight, Lord, and pray tonight as we got a full slate of services tonight. We'd ask you to be with each leader, and be with each one that will be part of that this evening. And these blessings I do pray in your name. Amen. All right, Tonda, if you would please come. And the praise team's going to come. Yes. Oh, excuse me. Yes, I've got to do that. I told you, you better not let me forget it. You didn't have the one that was in the paper, though. You don't have the one in the paper. I thought the one in the paper, he still had his beard. No, he still had your beard. Yeah, I thought you still had your beard. Well, okay, I sent you one to beer. It's on the board out there. Eve Ann's already put that on the board. I wasn't supposed to tell you that. Anyway, so it's all out on the board. If you want to see Robert, in all of his glory, his beard and all that, it's out on the board. We can do that too. Robert, I want to tell you that I was shocked when I opened the Standard News and Press yesterday. Of course, you don't take much to answer open that anymore. But I had about four sheets, I think. But Robert was on the front page. He was. He was happened to be at the right place at the right time. The gentleman was retiring as a barber, and he was giving Robert the final cut, right? 54 years. That's a blessing right there in itself. So we praise God.
And to fund our trip, I'm offering autographs.
But Robert, God bless you. That's all I need to say. Yeah. All right, praise team. Come on, let's see. Okay, I will. I'll stay since there's only three.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And,
come
I
on,
told
Kathy.
Kathy, she could come on up and sing. We had a very minimal group as far as choir goes last Sunday night. So I had already had this song in the back of my mind about come, now is the time to worship. You know, just as you are, come to worship. And that song just sort of sticks with me. It is in one of our contemporary books that we like to use. Yeah. So anyway,
you have the words on the board there, right?
Because I don't have the book. And we'll have our words up. Please feel free to join with us. It's just a happy, melodious little tune, and it's repetitive. It's easy, but it's beautiful. It says a lot to us to just come as we are and worship. Okay, all right, got it.
As you are before.
They did a good job. If you have your Bibles with you, open with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to begin at verse 1, and it is on the screen in back of me, the scriptures in which we'll be reading. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. Gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word today. We ask you, O God, that you will bless the reading of this word and that, Father, you will bless the preaching of your word. We ask you, O God, to hide me behind the cross, that when people look up here, they don't see me, but they see Jesus. Father, we ask that your will be done within each and every life. Open our hearts and our minds to your word. For Lord, you promised us that your word would not ever return unto you void. And so, Father, we ask that as we break forth the bread of life together today, that your will is done in each and every heart, and prepare each and every heart for your word to be preached. Guide us and direct us now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, 2 Timothy, in common with 2 Peter, Jude, and 2 and 3 John, has to do with the personal walk and testimony of a true servant of Christ in a day of apostasy and declension. Now, that word apostasy, very interesting word, I thought, because what it means is desertion or renunciation of our faith or our religion. And so as we look at that and we begin to see that this word apostasy, and you know, when I looked at that and saw that it means desertion, I thought of military. Having served in the army, I thought of military and those that refused to go to battle and ran off. And some ran off in the middle of battle. That was called desertion, was it not? Of course it was. And so as I thought about that, I began to see that you know, Paul loved Timothy a great deal. And he was encouraging Timothy to not be ashamed of the gospel, to be consistent and constant and persevere in times of trouble. And this is what was going on. We are seeing those who were turning away from the faith. And now, to put that in a right perspective, I can remember years ago when we never locked the church doors, that we left them open and people would come in and they would pray and everything was fine. Nobody took anything. You can't do that today. I remember when we, on Sunday morning, we would open the church doors and the people would flock in and every pew would be full and the balconies would be full because people were hungering for the word of God. I don't know what happened, but the scripture tells us, and I've entitled this message, Marks of the Last Days, because I don't know what happened, but Timothy 3 verses 1 through 5 shows us a glimpse of those last days. And so as we look at that, I want us to see, first of all, the last days and what they will bring. Because we see that in the last days, there will be scoffers, people who will mock Christians. Is that not going on today? I believe it is. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. You see, Peter even come out and said, in those last days, we're going to see people who are going to come out and ridicule Christians. They're going to come out and they're going to make fun of the word of God. They're going to come out and say, well, I don't like that in Scripture, so they'll tear it out and throw it away and put something else in there that makes them feel good. Now, this is not going to be a feel-good sermon, folks. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Every sermon's a feel-good sermon. Because when the Spirit of God convicts you and you come to the old-fashioned altar of prayer, and when you get up, I guarantee you, you'll feel good. Amen or oh me? You see, I think that's an amen, because that's what God wants us to do. You see, but there are those who will come out and tell you that the Bible is antiquated. It's outdated. We don't need it anymore. We need to change it to suit us. We need to change it for our culture. That's a desertion from the Word of God, is it not? And that's what the Scripture tells us. There will be those who will make fun, those who will scoff at us because we believe in the Word of God. We believe that it is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. I said that to a man years ago, and he looked at me and said, well, man made it, man wrote it, so it's got to have mistakes. I said, yeah, but man wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and therefore there is no mistakes. Because God does not make a mistake. You see, so for those who scoff, those who make fun of, those that ridicule you because you believe in the Word of God, all I can say is, I feel sorry for them. Because one day they're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they're going to have to give an account of themselves. And you and I are going to have to give an account of ourselves. And so what we need to do is to stand firm upon the Word of God and to share that gospel with other people, because the gospel means good news. And that is the good news. That's the hope of the world, and that is Jesus Christ. See, in the last days, they're going to make fun of you. And in the last days, they're going to walk sinfully. Jude verse 18, because there's only one chapter in that book. But he says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. You see, and that's what they do today, is it not? They say, well, it's okay to live this particular way. And I'm not trying to get political, but folks, I'm telling you, it is time for us as God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians to stand up and to say, enough is enough. We see corruption all about us. If you don't believe that, open the news or turn your news on, read your newspaper, or you turn on your radio and listen to the news, and you can sit there and say, man, how corrupt have we got? Because it is corrupt, not only in our judicial system and in the higher offices of our government, it's right on down into our churches as well. And beloved, we need to get it out. The world says, oh, it's okay to live this way. It's okay to do this. It's okay to hate your neighbor. It's okay to steal from your government. It's okay to embezzle from your employer. It is okay for all of these things, but I'm here to tell you that God says it's not okay. And when we live the kind of life that God wants us to live, instead of walking after the lives of sinners, then we are beginning to live the life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to do. In the book of Psalms, and I want to turn to there real quick because I want to get this verse right. I've memorized it, but I want to make sure it gets right. It's the first chapter. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, the psalmist simply tells us that we do not walk in the way of sinners. We don't listen to their counsel, to what they have, their advice. We listen to the Word of God. Our delight is in that Word. The last days, there will be evil times. Evil times. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." That's apostasy, folks. That's people turning away from Almighty God, turning away from His Word, turning away from His church. If you don't believe that that's happening today, look at the empty pews about you. Several years ago, Janice and I went down to Palmerville and we reopened a church that had been closed for about 10 years. And we got it going. And we accomplished a lot by the grace of God. Not by my strength, but by the grace of God. Today, the church is closed again. And it breaks my heart. Why? Because people don't want to hear the truth. They think it's outdated. We can live however we want to. I heard a man say, "Oh, you Baptists believe in once saved, always saved." And I said, "Yes, we do." He said, "Well, that's not right." He said, "That means that you can just do whatever you want to do then once you get saved." I said, "Yep, that's right. Once you get saved, you can do what you want to do. God just changes your want to's." See, so if you don't believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved, eternal security, security of the believer, however you want to say it, I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe that, just look around you. Because folks, when God said, "I give to you eternal life and they shall never perish," eternal means forever, and never means it's not ever going to happen. That they can't take it away from you. See, you'll never perish. Because He's given you eternal life. That's what He has done. But He said evil times are going to come up. And when those evil times come up, we're going to see those who are truly saved shine. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm just going to tell you like it is. Those that truly have asked Jesus Christ into their life will be in God's house. Will love God's word. Will open up their hearts to the moving of the Spirit, will share that love to all people that they come in contact with. Why? Because they love Jesus. Evil times are upon us. Evil is about us. The psalmist said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Well, I'm not sure that the man, godly man ceaseth. There we go. I would say my tongue got over my eye tooth, but I don't have any eye teeth anymore. But anyway, the thing is that that the godly man does not cease, because the godly man stands firm upon the water, upon the word of God. He's like that tree planted by the river. The roots go deep. And when the winds come, it can't blow it over. And we see the winds of evil about us today. And beloved, I tell you, I'm going to be a little prophetic here, I think, today. A little bit of prophecy, because I believe that there is about to happen a great awakening once again, in not only in America, but in the world. I believe that the mighty hand of God is going to be moving once again, and I believe that it'll be the last time before the coming of the Lord. Because the Spirit of God is moving. Is moving. I read an article recently where several churches had gotten together and held a revival, and they had baptized 5,000 people of all places in Southern California. And I about fell out of my chair when I read that. I said, California? You see, but the thing is that the evil times are about, but the Spirit of God is still moving. And these things happen in the last days. The second thing is that selfishness will abound. Have you ever known anybody selfish? You ever seen a selfish person? Well, that's mine. I want it. Kind of reminds me of the little children, you know, playing together. That's my toy. That's how we become, is it not? Somebody once told me years ago, they said, you know how you can tell the difference between the men and the boys? By the price of their toys. Is that right? The ladies are saying, yep, and smiling. But that's right, is it not? You see, it's ours, it's mine. We even began to hoard food. Do we not? A few years ago, someone said, oh, we're going to have a famine. And people started getting back into canning food and putting food away. And I heard a lady in a church that I was pastoring made the statement that she had went to her neighbor and told her neighbor, said, let me show you how to can. And she says, oh, no. She says, you're canning enough for both of us. And the lady looked at her from the church and said, well, I'm not giving you any. And I thought, wow, is that Christian? Is that Christ-like? No. Because Christ says for us to share what we have. The Bible says they had all things common. You see, when we see people in need, we need to help them. If we have it, we can help them. Do we not? Can we not? You know the old country song, A Country Boy Can Survive? You remember that song? Mm-hmm. Why can he survive? Because he can grow his own food, he can hunt his own food, and he can fish. When you can do all of that, you're going to eat, are you not? You're going to survive. And if you can do it good enough, you can help others to do the same. You can teach them how to do it. You can teach them that way instead of being selfish with it all. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 26 says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. In other words, if you're willing to share it, you'll be blessed. God said so. You'll be blessed. But if you withhold it, guess what? God's not going to bless you. God's not going to bless you. And then there are those who are greedy for real estate. You know, that word greedy covers a lot of things, does it not? But greed for real estate. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 5 and verse 8, he says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no more place or no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Selling off the land. Why? For money. Building houses all over our farmland so that they can have more people come in so they can get more money. What happens when all that farmland's gone? There's no food. So what are we going to eat? The houses? I don't know about you, but I'm not a termite. And then out of all of that, there's a total disregard of the rights of others. All of these are happening today. All of these are going to be, were prophesied to happen in the last days. And folks, I believe that we are in those last days. Ezekiel chapter 34 and 4 and verse 18 says, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. See, we don't care about what happens to somebody else. There is no regard for life today. People go about killing people randomly. Why? Because it's the thing to do. The thing to do. Say, well, we need to take away guns. Okay, then next you're going to need to take away automobiles because they're using those to run people over. Then you're going to say, well, we'll take those away. Then you're going to need to take knives away because they're using those to stab people. Before you know it, they're going to want to outlaw stones. You know, somebody said, I think years ago, and I agree with this statement, and you may not, and that's okay. But they said, if you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. Is that right? You agree with that? You see, the thing is, folks, is that we have that total disregard of the rights of others. You know, that's like somebody wanting to pull into a parking lot, into a parking space, and somebody cuts them off and gets into it, into their parking space, seeing them wanting to move in there, and they just jumped right ahead. Why? Because they wanted it first. Cutting in front of old people because they move too slow. Well, you know, I'm getting to where I move pretty slow too, so. And I just kind of sit back and open the door for them. Go ahead. Lord bless you. Lord love you. And then we neglect the needy and the suffering. Matthew 25, verse 43 says, I was suffering. Or excuse me, he says, I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Jesus was just simply telling him, here, I was all of these things, and you didn't do anything to help. You know, and y'all have heard me say this before, that most people don't want a hand out. They want a hand up. They want somebody to reach down and help them up out of the life that they're in. And I'm here to tell you, beloved, Jesus is the only one that can really lift them up out of that. And when we start sharing them, the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what's going to happen? Jesus is going to lift them up. But he's not going to lift them up unless we share Jesus with them. We need to concern ourselves for those who are in need, for those who are suffering, for those who are sick, for all of those that just need someone. Sometimes they just need somebody to sit with them and listen and love on them a little bit. Smile at them. A smile goes a long way, does it not? You know, somebody yawns and other people start yawning, right? Smile at somebody and see if people don't start smiling back. That's just as infectious as the yawn. We need to do more smiling. Amen? The third thing is dishonoring parents. This is a big one. I tell you what, my pet peeve. I've seen and heard kids walk in and call mom and dad by their first name. Well, I'm going to tell you, if I'd have done that, I wouldn't have had any teeth. I don't have any teeth now, but it wasn't because of that. But mom and dad would not have tolerated it in my day. Dad would have backhanded me. No telling what mom would have done. But we knew better. We had respect for our parents. We had respect for our grandparents. You know, my mom's mom, we used to call her Little Mama. You didn't dare call her Granny. You did. You'd be picking yourself up off the floor. But you see, it was because we respected them and we showed forth that respect. I have such a problem with children coming in and calling mom and dad by their first name. I didn't allow my kids to do that. And young people, listen to me. If you need to respect your parents and your grandparents, don't call them by their first name. Call them mom and dad. And my mom used to say, well, my first name's mom. Because it's all she ever heard from us was mom. You see, that's what we need to do, is to get back to showing forth respect. Respect to people. To our parents, respect to one another. We dishonor our parents by doing things like that, by stubbornness, being stubborn. I'm not going to do it. I said that one time. Mom grabbed me by the hair of the head. That's probably why I don't have any hair now. But you see, the thing is that we need not to be stubborn. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 20 says, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. I don't know about you, but kids, listen to me. When mom and dad said to do something, we had better do it. We had better do it. You know, I know, and y'all young people are probably saying, well, that's child abuse, and I can have them arrested. My daughter thought that one time and told me to that my face in front of a police officer, the sheriff, actually. And the sheriff took his belt off and said, Mr. Hopkins, here, I'm going to leave the room for a minute. You just straighten her out. Her mouth hit the floor. She knew then that the police wasn't going to do anything about a child abuse for her smart-mouthing her parents. Maybe we need to get back to that, you think? I'm not saying beat them half to death. But you know, that Board of Education on the seat of knowledge or seat of learning does a lot. Can sure change your attitude. Sure change your attitude. And then by a lack of respect for your parents, when you don't respect them, how can they respect you? Deuteronomy 27:16 says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And then, of course, by bringing strife into the household. When we come in and we begin to cause all kinds of problems. Now, I don't know if I shared this with y'all before, but when I was a senior in high school, both of my brothers were in the military, and one of them was on his way to Germany, and the other one was on his way to Vietnam, and they were home on leave. And so when they were there that first night, they said, hey, Jim, come on, we're going to go party. So we went out, and I'm going to say, they got me drunk. Well, they didn't. I got myself that way. But we came in. And we're sitting there, and Dad got off of work at midnight, and Dad came in. My oldest brother was already gone. He went to where his wife was at his in-laws, and it was me and my older brother and Dad sitting there at the table. And Dad said, son, he said, you better go to bed before your mom gets up. Yes, sir. And so I got up and started down the hallway, and guess who I met halfway down the hallway? Guess where I woke up the next morning? Still halfway down the hallway, only I was in the floor. What happened? Mom doubled up her fist, didn't say a word, and just knocked me out. She walked into the kitchen. She looked at my older brother, never said a word, but knocked him out of the chair. 3 days later, my oldest brother came in. Mom had me out there cleaning the garage, and she was supervising. He got out. And he walked up and said, hi, Mom. And she said, pow, and knocked him down. Now, I'm going to tell you, not a one of us lifted a hand to try to block or to do anything against my mom. We knew two things. One, she would have beat us half to death. Two, we'd have had to face my dad. So we'd have got it again. You see, that's called respect. And we need to respect our elders. We need to respect our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and teachers. We need to show forth respect to those and those that are in authority. We need to respect them and not cause strife within the house. Because when we show forth that disrespect, it causes strife in the household. Micah chapter 7 and verse 6 says, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And then we do it by disobedience. We don't obey. They tell us, mom and dad tells us not to do something, and we do it. We do it anyway. That's disobedience, is it not? They tell us to do something and we don't do it. That's disobedience also. When my dad told us to go cut the lawn, we didn't say, well, I'll do it for $5. We went out and fired up the lawnmower and cut it. And I'm going to tell you, you know what that firing up the lawnmower was? That was one of those we had to work back and forth like this. It didn't have an engine on it. Had the engine on it, all right. It was me. You see. And so we did it. Trimmed the hedges. Trimmed the around the lawn. And you know how we did it? We had these little clippers that we got down on our hands and knees. And that's what we used. We didn't expect any money for it either. You know, we bribe our children too much and give them too much when we need to have them give them some chores. The third thing is in the last days we're going to see pleasure seekers. Those are seeking just for pleasure. Verse 4, he tells us, the traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I was pastoring a church, and it was, we were between Sunday school and the worship service, and I had gone to the men's room, and on the way back, I saw one of the men of the church talking to his son, who was a young man, and he looked at his son, and he said, "Which would you rather do, son, go fishing or stay here and listen to that preacher?" And they went fishing. And they went fishing. You see, seeking out pleasure rather than seeking out God. And that's what we do. We put other things first. Oh, well, I'll be in church Sunday, preacher, unless there's something comes up. Something better comes up. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing better for me than to be in the house of God. And I'm getting long-winded today, and I'm going to have to hurry up here. I've got another point coming up here. See, the results of a pleasure-seeking life are first, poverty. First, poverty. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Shall not be rich. Pleasure seekers have a false sense of security. A false sense of security. Isaiah 47, verses 8 and 9, and I'll not read those verses. You can look those up, write them down, look them up. But you see, it gives you that false sense of security when you're seeking nothing but pleasure in this life. It also brings spiritual barrenness. Have y'all ever been to the desert? I know some of you have been out to the desert. Seen the deserts of California and Arizona and New Mexico and Nevada and Texas. Pretty desolate, isn't it? It's barren, isn't it? That's how your spiritual life will be. If you seek after pleasure. And it brings spiritual death. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." See, because we're dead spiritually. And then the last point, and it's not really a point, but it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Because there are those who have the form of godliness. Some of our churches have that form of godliness and go through all of the motions, but the Spirit is not there. They deny the power. You may say, "Well, what kind of power are you talking about?" I'm talking about the power of the Spirit of God, that Spirit that has that power to save souls, that Spirit that has that power to change lives, that Spirit that has that power to instruct you, that Spirit that has that power to move you and to encourage you and to help you to walk in the godly ways. Folks, we have that power indwelling within us. We need to utilize it. We need to let Him have more of us. You know, I used to pray, oh God, I want more of the Spirit in my life. And God told me one day, He says, you've got all that you ever need. What you need to do is let the Spirit have more of you. And that's what I needed to do. Folks, that's what we need to do. As a church, that's what we need to do. As the church of God, we need to let the Spirit have more of us. But the last days that are here, and we see all of these things that have happened, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and we spoke about those churches and all of these other things that are there. But I'm going to tell you, folks, I could end right there, but I cannot end because of the fact that there is hope. We can be negative all day long and talk about how bad things are, but folks, there's hope. And His name is Jesus. There's hope in these last days. And that hope is a return to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to do. I've been preaching for years of people that we as a nation and we as a church and we as a people, as an individual, need to turn back to Almighty God. Scripture says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back to the cross. Turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may experience that fullness of joy that He wants to give to you. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now. All you got to do is open up the door and say, come in. And I like to use this analogy. If I come to your house and I knock on the door, you open the door and hopefully you open the door and say, come on in, Brother Jim, and I'll come in. I won't come to your house and knock on the door and you not answer, and I will not kick the door of your house down to get into your house. Jesus won't kick the door of your heart to get into your heart. You have to willingly open it up and invite Him to come in. And when you have done that, I can guarantee you He will come in. And He'll change your life. That's why I've always said evidence of a saved life is a changed life. Because He'll change your life. I'm living proof of that. He'll change your life. We just have to let Him. Christian, He'll change your life when you give more of yourself to Him. You know, you'll want to. They won't have to come and beg you to take a class. The nominating committee won't have to come and beg you to serve. You'll want to go to them and say, hey, let me serve in this way. I went to a church pastoring and in the association, I went to see the director of missions myself the second day that I was in pastorate of that church. And I said to him, Brother Joseph, what do you got for me to do? And his eyes got real big and he said, I've never had a pastor come and ask me that before. I said, well, I usually have to go and ask them and beg them, will you serve here and there? Well, I began to serve. I began to serve. I asked a pastor in that association why he didn't attend the association meetings. He said, because I don't want to have to do any more than what I'm doing now. And I says, why? He said, because there's nothing in it for me. I said, well, it's not about you. It's not about your church. It's about Jesus and his kingdom. And that's what it's about, folks. Christ is knocking at the door of your heart right now. You need to invite him in. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask our music leader, Brother Leonard, would you come to lead us in a hymn of invitation? And as he comes, I want you to search out your heart. And I want you to ask yourself and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you calling me to do? Gracious Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for the preaching of your word. And Father, we pray that your spirit will move among us and that, Father, you will try each and every heart. And if there are any found lacking, that today will be the day that they come and make things right with you. Father, I ask that you will anoint this church with your spirit and that, Father, I pray that a great awakening will take place at Barbies Grove Baptist Church and spread throughout the world today. Guide us now as we go into this invitation service. Bind Satan from this invitation service, and your will be done, not mine. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.
Softly and tenderly.
And every one of you being here today, for those of you visiting with us, we are so glad that you're here with us today. As we close today, I want you to all remember that God is still on his throne and his mercy endures forever. And as we go to close today, I'm going to ask my wife, Janice, if she will pray our benediction, please.
Thank you.